With a fierce grin, Duncan said, "The best things come in the smallest packages." They went back to the lab, and without a word, the six young men and women took their stations along the bank of consoles that lined two walls of the shed. There was an assortment of chairs and stools, no two of them alike, but no one sat down. Dan saw that they were nervous, intense. All except Duncan, who looked calmly confident. He cocked a brow at Dan, like a gambler about to shuffle cards from the bottom of the deck. "Are you ready to see the wee beastie in action?" Duncan asked. Tired from traveling, Dan pulled a little wheeled typist's chair to the middle of the floor and sat on it. Folding his arms across his chest, he nodded and said, "You may fire when ready, Gridley." The others looked slightly puzzled, wondering who Gridley might be and what his significance was. Duncan, though, bobbed his head and grinned as though he understood everything. He turned to Vertientes and said softly, "Start it up, then." Dan heard a pump begin to chug and saw the readout numbers on Vertientes' console start to climb. The other consoles came to life, display screens flickering on to show multicolored graphs or digital readouts. "Pressure approaching optimum," sang out the blonde. "Density on the curve. Fuel cells online. Capacitor bank ready." Duncan stood beside Dan, sweeping all the consoles with his eyes. "Approaching ignition point," said Vertientes. Leaning slightly toward Dan, Duncan said, "It's set to ignite automatically, although we have the manual backup ready." Dan got to his feet and stared out the window at the stainless steel sphere out in the scaffold. There was a crackling air of tension in the lab now. He could feel the hairs on the back of his neck rising. "Ignition," Vertientes called. Dan saw nothing. The metal sphere outside didn't move. There was no roar or cloud of smoke, not even a vibration. He looked at Duncan, then over to the six others, all of them standing rigidly intent at their consoles. Numbers flickered across screens, curves crawled along graphs, but as far as Dan could see or feel, nothing was actually happening. "Shut down," Vertientes said. Everyone relaxed, sagged back a bit, let out their breaths. 30 seconds. On the tick," someone said. "Power output?" Duncan asked. "Design maximum. It reached 50 megawatts after 4 seconds and held it there right to cutoff." Vertientes was beaming. He turned and clutched Duncan by both shoulders. "Perfecto. She is a well-behaved little lady."
"You mean
that's it?" Dan asked, incredulous. Duncan was grinning, too. They all were.
"But nothing happened," Dan insisted.
"Oh, no," said Duncan, grasping Dan's elbow and turning him toward the row of consoles. "Look at that power output graph." Frowning, Dan remembered a scientist once telling him that all of physics boiled down to reading a bloody gauge.
"But it didn't go anywhere," Dan said weakly.
They all laughed.
"It isn't a rocket," Duncan said. "Not yet. We're only testing the fusion reactor."
"Only," said the Japanese woman.
30 seconds isn't much of a test," Dan pointed out.
"Hey, 30 seconds is plenty of time," Duncan rebutted.
"The plasma equilibrates in 5 seconds or less," said Vertientes.
"But to be useful as a rocket," Dan insisted, "the reactor's going to have to run for hours, even weeks or months."
"See, yes, we know," Vertientes said, tapping a finger into the palm of his other hand. "But in 30 seconds, we get enough data to calculate the heat transfer and plasma flow parameters. We can extrapolate to hours and weeks and months."
"I don't trust extrapolations," Dan muttered. The blonde stepped between them.
"Well, of course we're going to build a full-scale model and run it for months.
For sure. But what Doc V is saying is we've done enough testing to be confident that it'll work.
Dan looked her over. California, he decided. Maybe Swedish ancestry, but definitely California. We intend to mate the reactor with an MHD generator, Vertientes said, earnestly trying to convince Dan. That way, the plasma exhaust from the reactor can provide electrical power as well as thrust. Magneto... Dan stumbled over the word. Magneto hydrodynamic, Vertientes finished for him. The blonde added, the interaction of electrically conducting ionized gases with magnetic fields. Dan grinned at her. Thank you. She's showing off, he thought. She wants me to know that she's a smart blonde, despite her surfer chick looks. Then he caught Duncan watching him with that sly look in his glittering coal-black eyes, and remembered the student from Birmingham who had convinced Humphreys to pay attention to their work. He shook his head ever so slightly to tell Duncan that he wouldn't need to be convinced that way. Once he would have scooped up a young, available woman and enjoyed every minute of their brief fling together. But not now. He grimaced inwardly at the weird curves fate throws. When Jane was alive, I chased every woman I saw, trying to forget her. Now that she's dead, I don't want anyone else. Not now. Maybe not ever again.
Selene City.
Don't you intend ever to return to Earth? Martin Humphreys leaned back in his exquisitely padded reclining chair and tried to hide the dread he felt as he gazed at his father's image on the wall screen. I'm working hard here, Dad, he said. It takes almost 3 seconds for radio or light waves to make the round trip between the Earth and the Moon. Martin Humphreys used the time to study his father's sallow, wrinkled, sagging face. Even though the old man had made his fortune in biotech, he still refused rejuvenation treatments as too new, too risky, too many unknowns. Yet he wore a snow-white toupee to hide his baldness. It made Martin think of George Washington, although George was alleged never to have told a lie, and anyone who had ever dealt with W. Wilson Humphreys knew that you had to count your fingers after shaking hands with the old scoundrel. I need you here, his father admitted grudgingly. You need me? Those bastards from the New Morality are pushing more tax regulations through the Congress. They won't be satisfied until they've bankrupted every corporation in the country. All the more reason for me to stay here, Martin replied, where I can protect my assets. But what about my assets? What about me? I need your help, Marty. I can't fight these psalm-singing fundamentalists by myself. Oh, come on, Dad. You've got more lawyers than they do. They've got the whole damn Congress, his father grumbled. And the Supreme Court, too. Dad, if you just come up here, you'd be able to get away from all that. His father's face hardened. I'm not going to run away. It's time to admit that the ship is sinking, Dad. Time to get out while you can. Up here on the Moon, I'm building a whole new organization. I'm creating Humphrey Space Systems. You could be part of it, an important part. The old man glared at him for much longer than it took his son's words to reach him. At last he growled, if you stay up there too long, your muscles will get so deconditioned you won't be able to come back to Earth. He hasn't heard a word I've said, Humphreys realized. He talks and he never listens. Dad, I'm in the middle of a very complicated deal here. I can't leave, not now. He hesitated, then said, I might never come back to Earth. Once he heard that reply, his father's image went from its normal unhappy scowl to a truly angry frown. I want you here, damn it. This is where you belong, and this is where you're going to be. That's final. Father, said Martin, feeling all the old fear and frustration swirling inside him like a whirlpool pulling him down, drowning him. Father, come here. Come be with me, please, before it's too late. His father merely glowered at him. Give it up, Dad, Humphreys pleaded. Earth is finished. Everything down there is going to crash. Can't you understand that? The old man sputtered. Damn it, Marty, if you don't listen to me... He faltered, stopped, not knowing what to say next. Why can't you listen to me for a change? Martin snapped. Without waiting for a response, he said, I'm trying to build an empire up here, Dad. An empire that's going to stretch all the way...